Welcome back to episode 205 of the Blockrunner podcast.
Here's where we discuss the latest development in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on YouTube to follow along with our discussion.
Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to our newsletter at theblockrunner.com. As always, we have your host, William, talking to your co-host, Iman. And here are some of the topics they discussed today.
First up, the guys went on a bit of a rant discussing the importance of Eve's contributions as a founder in the UNAT ecosystem. Next, discussion in the exhaustive requirements needed in order to achieve significant goals for the long run of their company. Then, referencing advice from Jensen Huang, the ability to endure suffering and pain during the toughest points of a founder experience. And finally, celebrating 20,000 subscribers on their YouTube channel. All right, let's listen in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Blockrunner podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iman.
What's going on, dude?
On the six, we got TJ.
Hello.
All right, so finally, we're back. We interviewed a couple of people in the last couple of weeks. We had Jason on here.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk to Evie this week, but
yeah,
I got sick, therefore delayed the conversation.
So that conversation is going to be happening next week. Same time.
Most
next week.
Likely. Yeah. Like a 99% chance, unless for some reason.
So it's like a meteor strike or what?
Any of the other 1%er, 1%er barriers of resistance to this.
Yeah.
This is inevitably a very interesting conversation we're going to have with Evie because
yeah,
not only was he just, I don't know, by whatever coincidence, whether it's like universal destiny or like, it's just, he just kind of like fell into,
yeah,
into the equation of like thing, like, I don't know, like.
It was literally out of thin air.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't know Evie at all. We didn't know of his existence.
We still don't know.
Well, we don't know him personally, but we know him.
Everybody knows him now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did something so tremendously, I think, important to the DMT ecosystem. And considering this is his first project ever done, and like there's just so many things about the guy that's impressive.
Yeah, 100%.
From our perspective, right? It's just, couldn't have asked for a better like steward or
evangelist.
Ambassador for DMT, right? He's out there actually like slinging the gospel.
Yeah.
And he's doing it like in a very eloquent, like sophisticated manner, right?
Yeah, agreed.
And it's like, damn, dude, fucking universe delivered.
Yeah.
Delivered us a unicorn.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that he front ran like the protocol update.
Damn it, that word, front ran. I don't know why. That just feels like a...
It's like a bad thing?
I feel like, well, yeah, you know, everyone's like trying to avoid front running and stuff. It's like, oh, these front runners. Front run like brings out like an implication of like exploiting.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. They didn't exploit anything, right?
He just got ahead. I mean,
right.
It's like everyone using Rug. Everyone uses Rug for everything. Anytime you connect to a Twitter space and then you disconnect, I was like, oh, this guy rugged.
Oh, I see. Like the word itself?
Just every word
in
crypto gets misused.
Good point. Yeah.
Every single word.
Yeah. It's like, oh, dude, it's like, I can barely hear you or stuff. You know, this, like you're saying on Twitter space, like, yeah, like, you're rugging, bro.
You're rugging. Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's no actual financial
implication there.
Yeah. Even though that is the origin of the.
Yeah. Rugging is very specifically the action, a malicious act of removing liquidity where liquidity should be had,
something like that.
Yeah,
it's just putting an end to the fun part of the party, right? It's like the music stops,
the trading of the party. Yeah,
yeah. Whether it's like, oh, I created a back end loop to this smart contract. Yeah, you suckers thought you were like, you know, contributing to DeFi. Nope.
Yeah.
You're contributing to my
own wallet. Yeah.
That's really what you were doing. See ya, suckers.
Yeah.
That's a rug, right?
Correct.
So, yeah.
Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video.
I only bring it up just to say, like, you know, he didn't like front run anything. I guess he front ran like our final delivery of the spec, right?
Yeah, what he did was what we had envisioned in our own mind of what was possible with DMT.
Yeah, we had like the, in our own minds, it's like we felt like the burden was on us to kind of like showcase like why this is an important addition to the ordinal space and why this is a necessary component to add to the DMT framework.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's like, I guess we're going to have to show them, dude. Typically, that's like what we did back in the day, like in our Metaverse Decentraland days. We created Metas, right? Metaverse-enabled tokenized apps.
Yep.
And we were like the first ones to deploy these types of assets in the virtual environment, right? So it's like, I don't think anybody else was kind of like doing these types of things before us. So it was like, we're going to showcase this is what you can do. And then like an actual Cambrian explosion happened.
See, but that's the thing. It's like people were doing something similar, but they were just like, it was ad hoc and there was no standard. There was like, it was just a creation for creation's sake, which you can do. But the value here is the standards. It's the standard of DMT. It's the fact that, you know, whenever you apply your creativity to the standard, you come up with something like NatCats, all of a sudden it's like supported and it's like on chain and it's like, you know, anybody can support it, right? If they, you know, agree with the whole ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
And so the standard really makes it more valuable.
100%. Yeah. So Evie came in and basically understood what the standard was for and then he applied it in his own interpretation and it ran away. It far exceeded any of our expectation, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like from a day one perspective, it's like, oh, this is cool. You know, going to this NatCat viewer thing and like just inputting a block number, a block height, and then seeing these things generate like instantaneously, knowing that other traits are derived from on-chain properties and then their supply is completely dependent on a pattern's existence. It's like it brought everything so perfectly together.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and it was like, phew. And then now people, they get it. Right?
Then, you know, a lot of influencers in the Ethereum space started talking about it. And like it even like, you know, penetrated to like different, you know, ecosystems as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough. Like that's the first time, I guess, we've had firsthand experience of like something. We didn't create NatCats, but it comes from something that we've put out there, right, with the DMT framework.
Yeah.
It's the first time like anything that we've kind of like incepted has gotten that kind of a response.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, like our experience with, at least me personally, is like we get to kind of like, I definitely feel present.
Yeah.
Like
we're
actually ruffling some feathers. Like people are pissed.
Yeah.
And people are happy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, I think from a creator standpoint, that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in a place where everybody loves it because it's a cult.
A cult?
A cult. Yeah.
Well, even cults get like tremendous hate, right? Only the people.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but really, you just don't want to create something where nobody's like talking about it.
Yeah, basically.
That's the real.
Yeah, like, or it's like an echo chamber is better.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah. Where you could be stuck in like a multi-month loop of like.
Yeah, this is cool, right, guys? Like, yeah, it is cool. And it's like, and that's about it. Like, everybody agrees it's cool, but it doesn't get any like outside input or influence or interest.
Yeah.
And that's what you don't want.
Correct. So, yeah, there's been a lot of attack.
Which is a good signal, right? That's a sign of progress.
Yeah, we're getting used to it at this point. And it's part of like the experience, right? Of like seeing something actually get some appreciation and like, you know, not just that, it's just grabbing people's attention and awareness. So
yeah,
that has all kinds of
For all the hate reaction that this could get or is getting, I mean, there's like 10 times more like enjoyers out there.
Correct. Yeah, so it's interesting to see this. So we announced something this week, a partnership with Redacted.
Yep, that's right.
Which is one of the more highly anticipated collections. I mean, Redacted right away, once you know, they put out their marketing, whatever, that their presence, their intention to create a DMT collection, they were the first ones to kind of like point out clearly that there's an issue with like the current existing, I guess, infrastructure provisions, right? Basically open and free fair mint distributions, which obviously, you know, the Ordinal ecosystem loves this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like the lowest barrier to entry for any party involved to like participate in these mints.
Yeah.
But quickly that became a little like oversaturated. Some specific players has had like too much of a hand in this minting process. And it quickly kind of like, I think, diminished.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people who are just like launching tokens left and right and like minting like 10 to 20% of the supply and then pumping it on Twitter. And
yeah.
And people got like, they understood the pattern here and they're like, hey, this is actual trash.
Yeah.
And it kind of like spoiled things.
I think so.
And so it's important to give creators the tools to allow them to distribute however they want, right? It could be through a price. It could be through just limiting the mints per wallet.
Yeah.
And all these like other methods, right?
Pretty much.
Whitelists and such.
Yeah, so that's pretty much part of what we're like working on is making sure we can, you know, satisfy different creator type needs, right? Because, you know, we're not new to like that initiative, trying to like, you know, understand what it is creators need. Again, that's been our focus since the beginning.
Yeah.
If you really go back to like the early days of this podcast, you'll hear us talking about something called MetaZone and metas and like, you know, just 3D content that's deployable in the metaverse space back in those days.
Yeah.
Which was purely an Ethereum ecosystem. Yeah. There was no ordinals, no bitmap, none of that. Right. But our focus has always been just like, damn, there's this opportunity for content in the metaverse. But every time you logged in and you were present within it, it's like that seemed to be the biggest thing that was absent.
Yeah.
It's like something is wrong here.
Right? Yeah. And we're sort of like technology maximalists. We want to create technology for developers and creators to like make stuff and make stuff in a way where it's like repeatable, right? That's how you sustain yourself, really.
Yeah. And it's also, it's like, so what's going to be the thing that captures people's, attention and keeps them engaged and retained within the metaverse space, right? Well, it's got to be the content.
Yeah.
You know, draw the parallels between the internet. The internet's pretty freaking lame if there's no like actual good content, right?
Yeah. Imagine if the internet was like only for developers, right? You couldn't create your own website these days. And that's how it was in the early days.
Yeah.
And that's why there was like this internet boom, right? Yeah. At that time. But you needed a developer to make a website. And then all of a sudden, developers got smart and they're like, hey, why don't we just make tools for anyone to make websites?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like things like WordPress and Webflow and all this like cool stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of platforms like YouTube, TikTok, whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, user-generated content distributors.
That's right.
That is like the large part of like our attention is focused on these types of platforms now.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Things that anybody has access to, then you could produce your own content, contribute your own value, and as a result, extract your own, like, you can monetize these things, right? Yeah. YouTube is thriving, Twitch thrives, these streaming platforms, you know, TikTok. It's all like a big open source endeavor, like a game competition to outproduce one another as far as like content, right?
Yeah.
So we figured the metaverse is probably going to need to be something very similar. So the thing that's missing are actual tools.
Yeah, correct.
To introduce or expand the scope of participants, right? Because if YouTube's limited to like 5-10 creators, content's gonna blow, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
At one point it kind of was that, like in the early days, just, you know.
Yeah, it was just like people in front of the camera just like singing or
right,
and
fucking people playing Call of Duty doing like 360 no scopes. That was what got me into YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like I was playing Call of Duty nonstop. I was like, I really wanted to learn how to do a 360 no scope. So I was like, let me go on the internet and see if I can find some kind of
a how-to video,
like a forum. Because back then,
how to pwn,
how to no scope pools and stuff like that. And then I found this thing called YouTube. I was like, oh, this is interesting. It's a video platform. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard of these before. Like,
but the Justin thought never TV entered your mind. Like, I should make videos.
Oh fuck yeah, many times.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, but you had to get like a capture device or something like that.
Oh, the resistance like stopped you?
It always does. Especially back then sucks. When you don't have a fucking money? Bank account.
Yeah.
I'm like in freshman year of college or something. It's like, I forget what they're called. They're like, it's like a box.
You connect the HDMI to your Xbox. Xbox. Yeah.
And it's like, it's capturing your pwnage. And of course I wanted to do that because after consuming YouTube, you're learning how to 360 no scope. I was really good. Dude, TJ Vouch.
I agree. It's
true.
I agree. I remember
he was.
Thanks, dude.
Elite level COD player.
I remember you'd come over and then you'd play on the PlayStation. You just like dominate these fools.
I was a legitimate no lifer. In other words, for about a whole year. I remember people were like.
You'd do the drop shotgun.
Yes, the drop shots. Like, It was insane. I'd go in there, go like 60-1, yeah, like nuke deployed like almost every round. Yeah. I was like, dude, this fucking loser. I thought I was like the shit though. I was walking around like, dude, I'm the best.
Yeah.
I remember when I got 10th prestige, like everyone was mind blown. Like, how the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like, you must have like hacked your way up there. It's like, nope. Those are real man hours, dude. Expended to get that prestige.
Right.
So yeah, I can thank that to YouTube, really. Huh. That was my introduction. And then since then I was hooked.
So you actually like did research on how to like,
of course,
like own strategies and stuff.
When is like getting good at anything not required like that level point of like work?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, in order to get that good at that game, I spent a lot of, like half of it was like learning.
Learning, yeah. And then the other half is like practicing.
Execution, yeah. Like, I was a real gamer, dude.
That's cool. That's good.
Thanks. I'm glad I got some validation for like multiple decades spent doing that, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking insane.
You're finally getting your flowers, I mean.
Finally. Yeah, so that was all for something. But yeah, that led me down the path of basically like absolute gamer degeneracy. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how,
well, that's
how
it is. That's where our wisdom comes from, really, is like all the gaming years.
Yeah, and that's how I think, you know, that contributes to why we're able to do what we do in this crypto space now.
Yeah.
The idea of like, you know, wanting to be good at something, wanting to be good at like identifying trends,
yeah,
finding frontiers of like where the innovation gaps are and such like that. It requires a lot of work and like learning to get to that. Right?
Yeah, it reminds me of Vitalik just recently spoke about the metaverse. Like someone asked him, like, what are your thoughts on the metaverse? And he goes on for like maybe a minute and a half talking about it. And the biggest takeaway that he said was that the metaverse needs a better definition.
Yeah. That's well, like he only spoke for like a minute, but yeah, that was basically it.
But ultimately, I think that is everybody's takeaway, is like the metaverse is so ambiguous that it's really hard to show somebody, here's the metaverse. It's like, really, this is it? It's like, well, really, it's not just Roblox.
Right.
Right? It's not just Fortnite. These are not the metaverse. These are experiences.
Yeah.
I don't know if they qualify as the metaverse. And then we have our own definition of what the metaverse is.
He's definitely right. In that sense, there's definitely a stratification of like idea.
Yeah.
And like during the last hype cycle of the metaverse, like there a lot of, you know, the word itself was just completely like hijacked. It was like horrified, if that's a word. It was just like hoard out to every like industry you could think of, you know. It's like,
yeah, you're to creating the point a where little
Walmart's the metaverse, you know. It's like,
yeah, you're creating a little web game and all of a sudden, oh, this is the metaverse too.
Yeah. Yeah, so it got confusing real quick.
Yeah.
And so he's right. So that's why we're so interested in Bitmap. And that's, you know, it's like that doesn't really contribute in any way or form into like creating that cohesive alignment towards a singular definition. But I don't necessarily know that if there needs to be a singular.
I don't know, man. The internet was very like
open.
It was very narrow in like its capabilities. It was just like a communication protocol.
Okay.
And like the metaverse is like almost anything. Well, and that's a problem.
Well, try your best right now. Like spin up, drum up like.
Well, I feel like the metaverse is.
Okay, the internet's a communication layer.
So you want a one-liner?
Yeah.
It's like a digital economic.
God damn it. See, not good enough.
It's not good enough?
I don't.
A digital economy? Like that's what it is, I think.
Well. Digital communication.
So you want like protocol like type?
I don't know. I'm just trying.
It's like a digital existence layer.
I would like fall in line a little bit more with that.
Yeah.
And like, of course, existence, like one of the components of that is economic longevity and sustainability and stuff. Like, you know, these are things that we're encountered with in our default existence layer, which is this thing called the universe.
Yeah.
Right. You know, without in the absence of like an actual economic system, and you know, it's truly chaotic and disorganized and not fruitful for many people.
Right? Yeah.
So, of course, like digital economics is a big component to like what makes our digital existence like a fruitful endeavor.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's like a lot of psychological implications for like a digital existence. Like you identify as your digital avatar. Right. You are that person, right, in the digital realm.
And to a large extent, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, and like it's sort of like you have like this physical existence where you don't really choose like kind of what you look like, you don't really choose like where you like live, right? You don't really choose a lot of these things. You just, you know, you're just that person. But in the digital realm, you get to choose these things. You identify more, your identity is more aligned with your choices than what your natural like physical existence is.
You're subjected to.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I feel like that has a psychological implication when it comes to the metaverse, where I think a lot of people are going to be spending a lot of time, you know, with this side of their identity.
Yeah. It just sounds so much more like ambiguous, like digital existence than digital, or like a communication protocol. Like,
yeah, that seems it like, is. It is very ambiguous in a communication protocol.
Yeah, communication or like an information highway. All these things are just very. It's practical.
Very clear.
Yeah,
what it is.
It's almost intuitive. Like that. That sounds very useful.
Yeah,
it's not obvious. Like that. There's major pitfalls to like our current day existence. I guess parameters or like what it is we're subjected to in this base layer reality.
Yeah.
And it's even less obvious that we can like architect and construct something of like optionability where you can.
Yeah, that's right.
Like you're saying, be present somewhere else.
Yeah. It reminds me again to like, you know, we discovered this new AI platform that makes music, and we were listening to some of the music, and it was all of it was competent. Like,
can we listen to that? That's not copyrighted in any way, right?
I don't know.
Can't be. It's AI. It's all free and open, right?
Well, I was looking at some of the terms of service. It's like,
shit. Okay.
You can't make money off of it unless you're paying for like the subscription.
Well, we don't make money here at all.
I mean, we don't make money, but
like if we were to like produce this into like a, I don't know, like a BRC 420, first we'd have to like listen to the song.
Yeah.
Well, like if we were to like actually monetize this in some ways, like, you know, let's create like a 30-second, you know, BRC 420. It's an audio file.
Yeah.
And then we sold like
You could really like, because this is like AI generated. So you could like design its lyrics.
Its output, right?
Its output, yeah. You could design its lyrics and the output, the song. And then you could just apply that to like a trailer to whatever art you're releasing. Right. And I feel like that's a pretty solid use case.
Yeah. I mean, when you showed me this, I was, you know, at first very embarrassed. Just because of the nature of like, I just hate to hear my name mentioned in like anything. I don't know. As counterintuitive as that might seem, it's like we're actually not intention seekers or like,
yeah.
And in any way, like, you know, we're actually dreading the fact that we have to start going to conferences pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because everyone's just like, you guys need to come. And it's like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so much more comfortable here in our little fucking bubble, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
But at the same time, it's like, I understand. This is part of, like, human growth, right? I gotta, like, we have to experience the discomfort to actually, like, evolve and grow into something better, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they all say out there? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Those Navy SEAL influencers and shit?
Yeah, hold a log up above your head.
stay uncomfortable.
For like 12 hours?
Yeah. It's like, all you comfortable pussies out there, he's like, you're going nowhere in life. Yeah. He's like, God damn it, dude. Goggins is right.
I mean, he is right. I mean, how are you going to grow if you don't like challenge yourself, right? And challenging is like a usually uncomfortable thing.
Exactly. So I'm going to have to like get over my whatever it is. I don't want attention and such.
Yeah.
I got to grow, in other words.
Yeah. So, all right.
So let's day one.
Yeah. Let's just
humiliate ourselves real quick. I don't know. This is probably, other people might think this is actually cool, but
I don't know. We'll see. Let's play it. It's the 90s on the West Coast. We
be making noise talking about Bitcoin. It's a future. Actually sounds way better in these headphones.
It does, right?
Yeah. That's the game we play. Will and I, man, dropping out for making moves every day. Hold on. Rewind that, dude. I fucking missed it. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it.
There it is. There it is, dude.
Will and I, man.
Dropping alpha, making moves every day.
From the streets of Cali.
We're not from there. Bitcoin's the future, decentralized, we ahead. We dropping knowledge, breaking barriers, no one can stop. It's actually way better than
I know.
I thought it was.
I don't know why you didn't like it. I mean, this is a very well done, like competent, put together. It sounds like a real rapper.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's legit.
It was as soon as I heard I'm in, I was like, fade. No thanks, dude. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. Like, I just don't know. Huh. But I don't know, dude.
I mean, when I first heard it, I was like, damn, somebody's actually rapping about, like.
I knew right away this was AI. I knew.
How did you know, like, right away?
Right away. For one, it's like, no human on earth would, like, regurgitate these words.
I totally disagree. We've heard music trying to, like, fit ordinals and, like, fit all kinds of, like, weird stuff that they a rapper wouldn't, you know, talk about.
Well, also, like, the sound of it, it sounded literally like every West Coast rapper of the 90s, like, meshed into, like, a singular entity. I could just hear it.
Yeah.
You know, I heard everyone's voice at once. It's like, oh, dude, this has to be AI.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And, like, yeah.
No. Well, I thought that was just, like, you know, like, how they just edit the song, right? The rapper's voice. Like, this wasn't obvious.
Well, it's like
to
a genre. It's probably, like, part of the prompt engineering. It's like, yeah. It says it right there, 90s upbeat West Coast rap.
I know, but what I did was I listened to it without looking at anything.
Okay.
And it was not obvious that this was just like straight AI.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe because you linked it to me, it's like, this has to be AI. If this came from like TJ or something, TJ is not like linking me like AI stuff all the time like you are. You know, so it's like, oh, here's another AI thing.
Yeah.
That probably like... fucked it up a bit too, or like killed the
yeah,
whatever.
All right, so you want to see the extent of this. I found another song that I thought was interesting that I think deserves a listen.
I would say
I did not know it was AI when you first played it for me.
Really?
So you know.
Yeah, see,
interesting.
It's not obvious, dude. That's what's so crazy about this.
Well, this year, if you would have showed me this. First of all, I'd be like, why is Will sending me songs about pie? I'd be a little skeptical. Like, God damn, dude, it's kind of weird. But I wouldn't, yeah, after hearing it, it sounds like something that would be like on every, you know, EDM set list.
Really?
Once you hear it.
Yeah. All right, let's see.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is Calvin Harris all day.
Yeah, I don't even know who the hell that is, but.
I'm just saying. So here we go. These
are the first 25, 3.14, dude. This is only AI.
Once we have our DMT conference, this song is like,
dude, that's our back.
It's gonna be looping.
A background song. It's like, welcome, Will and I, man. Yeah. And it's like a pie song.
See, this is cool, dude. Come on, TJ's jamming. Yeah, this is actually. All right, let me shut up so you actually hear the lyrics. So, I mean, there really are no lyrics. They're just reciting pi.
Just telling you the first 25 digits of pi.
It's actually the first 50 digits. 50? But okay. Yeah, 25 at a time.
Okay.
Yeah. But you get it.
So it's like somebody like literally said, it's like, give me like an upbeat like dance song.
So I think there's a couple of things that are happening. First, they have like a large language model come up with a song about the first 50 digits of pi.
Okay.
Give me the lyrics, you know, break it down into its course. And it's like, here it is. And then they use this other app, Suno, and they say, hey, give me a lo-fi house.
Oh, there it is.
Using these lyrics.
Yeah.
And then it generates the voice and like the background song and or the beats and everything. And then, dude, this is like, I was really impressed with this. Like, really impressed.
Yeah, me too. This is pretty good. Again, I would have no problem like adding this to my playlist.
Yeah.
Even though it's like the most pointless of songs. Most songs really are these days.
It's useful, dude. It's 3 points.
That's true. Maybe, you know, someone one day will hold a gun to my head. It's like, if you can't recite the first 50 digits of pi, you and your whole family are dead.
And then he sings the song.
Sing the song.
And be like, you know what? It's like, yeah.
It's like you get to live.
You pass, dude. Yeah. You know, yeah.
It's like the alphabet, dude. You can't say the alphabet without singing the song.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, how do you see A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to right there, naturally, like.
go into a melody.
Oh, yeah, add an inflection to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. So this is like who was it that showed us this? I think it was somebody in our Discord.
Right. Yeah, it was somebody in the Discord.
yeah. Costa
Pete. Shout out Costa Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, you don't have any, you know, human musical talent. You have AI musical talent all day.
But then I was thinking, like, do you really need musical talent when you have something like this?
I guess not. I guess not. That was my response to you, right? After hearing these songs, like, humans are cooked.
Yeah.
It's fucking over, dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is good.
So why are we talking about this? Because we were talking about the metaverse, and then we're talking about, like, why would anybody spend any time in the metaverse? Like, what is the point?
Yeah.
It's like, well, the point is all our jobs are going to be automated away. Yeah. And then, you know, we're going to be spending time doing something, and we feel like that something is going to be the metaverse. And so that's why the digital existence layer is like saying the communication layer of, or the communication protocol of the internet.
Mm. Yeah, that might be the driver of, like, making it obvious as to why we need options as far as,
yeah,
where do we engage our lively presence within, yeah, right? Is it, like, this physical one? It's like, well, shit, not really, because, like, this physical world doesn't really need me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really contribute much as far as, like, human.
Like, labor.
Labor, or, like, even, like, creativity. It's like this shit's, yeah, being outsourced to an algorithm.
Yeah, I mean, these are competent songs. I mean, these, like, I can see, like you're saying, at an EDM, like, they're playing this in the background, like,
yeah,
and it's fine.
And this is just, like, early days.
Yeah.
It's only going to get better from here. So, yeah, again, humans are cooked. So then, yeah, I mean, it's a worthy, like, option, too. It's like, let me find some purpose and some level of contribution through participating in some sort of digital Web3 native metaverse societal layer.
Yeah.
Right. Now I use a ton of different, like, buzzwords.
Yeah.
Like, one,
it's like synergy and
yeah, one, like, vision of reality. But and that's why it when people hear that, they just instantly get turned off. It's like, dude, this guy's just a loony. He's
saying
tune,
out
dude.
Words. Yeah.
This guy's just a weirdo. He just, yeah, obviously he just doesn't have enough friends or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, those are the people who wanted to make the metaverse happen. Like, they're just, like,
yeah,
the loners.
Like, lonely, yeah.
Loners, they don't get poos or, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's, yeah, like, yeah, their motivation is. So obviously, I did, like, Zuckerberg's whole motivation is just digital poos, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's got to be, right? But I don't know. Some people, that's true. Some people want, yeah, some digital poos. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not? Is that actually going to hurt anybody? God, I hope not.
Yeah, really hope so. Hopefully not.
Hope somehow that doesn't manifest into, like, something actually truly bad. Actually, it probably could, considering.
Yeah, but
the psychology.
There's already all kinds of bad stuff happening as it is.
Let's right? just fuck it all up, dude, at this point.
Yeah, we need a reboot. We need to reboot the whole system, the whole
DJ
thing.
Was right, dude. We're back to our doom days.
Doom and gloom is back on, boys.
Doom and gloom era.
It's like, it does not matter that Bitcoin's at 72 grand.
It almost feels like it doesn't, dude. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it does.
It almost feels like it doesn't. You're right.
Yeah, maybe that's like a part of.
That's a very weird thing to say, though. A $72,000 Bitcoin, like.
Yeah, it's like it's like fucking flirted with 72K like 3 or 4 times now in the last like 3 or 4 weeks. And it's like, yeah. So what, dude?
But we started a podcast, by the way. We're at 20,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Damn, we did it. Very good.
It's good timing, Chico. Thank you. Yeah, we did it.
We should have accomplished.
We can retire.
We're out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We forgot to install the banner.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool, dude. 20K. Yeah.
20K. And there's a reason why I was bringing this up. Oh, because when we started the podcast, Bitcoin was at $3,500. And to think, imagine if at that time we were like, you know, the future selves come back. It's like, you know, Bitcoin will be hanging out at $72,000.
And then we'll just be like, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah. That's a crazy kind of like thought.
It's true. I don't know what that is. If that's just us, like we've felt it all. We're like numb to it. Maybe.
I think it's the normalization of like just the price. Like eventually Bitcoin's going to get to like 200K. Then it's going to crash to like 50K. And then, you know, it's going to reach like 500 grand and all these like points, it's going to feel like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like Bitcoin today is like $500,000. Like, so what? It's like, but you know what? This ordinals thing happening, you know, it's like, it's a normal thing.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. Like when you really think about it.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of things happening right now that is just weird if you think about it.
That's true.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if this is like just we're entering like a wall of some sort. I don't know. It's like some weird limbo. Say like a year ago, like we were so fucking amped about everything. It's just like, yeah. You know, but and then rewind a year prior to that, like everything was just so fucking
collapse of everything.
Everything was so terrible. It was like, God.
Yeah, we're talking about like how many chickens we each had to make sure we could survive.
Exactly. We felt like the writing was on the wall. Like for sure, economic collapse is imminent.
It's like we've never been this close to like actually pushing the nuclear button.
Right, right, right. Yeah, like literally Russia and Ukraine break out.
Yeah.
It's just everything just seems so bad and ominous, and it's like fuck. And then Sam Bankman freed, FTX happens,
yeah, banks collapse, dude,
literally banks.
It actually felt like the sky was falling.
Yeah, again. So I don't know, we're just humans, and but really nothing that bad is happening.
Yeah, Sam Bankman freed is now 25 years in jail, convicted.
I guess Diddy's on the run. That's kind of
Diddy's
scary.
On the run.
Jared Fogle of Subway pedophile gets out in 5 years. That's kind of alarming. Add that to the list of things that doesn't make sense and are kind of weird. It's like, how's that guy getting out?
Yeah.
Fucking Selena's murderer just got out. How's that make sense? You know, yeah, yeah. There's some weird shit happening in this physical reality, dude. Maybe yeah. That adds to the thesis. So, like, we need option two.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we do need, like, the digital existence.
Correct. Yeah, it's a lot. I don't know. As far as, like, escapism, it's like a natural thing humans tend to, like, do whenever things get tough or rough and, you know, you enter low points in your life. It's like, man, I need to do something to get my mind off of like being confronted regularly with this, the burden of this existence.
Dude, I feel like social media has really contributed to all this like sentiment, like this negative sentiment, like about existence and life and all that.
Yeah. And yeah.
And I feel like when you do like an objective assessment of like the quality of life, just on average, it's like we're significantly safer, significantly better. Yeah. Everything is like significant.
I know.
Like good.
So then what's the problem?
It's social media, like I said. It's like
that's it? That's the only thing. I think culprit? It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because think about it. We can't trust like CNBC, Fox, CNN. We can't trust what they're saying because it's biased. Then you go to social media where it's unbiased, roughly. And then you find out it is actually biased. And then all the stuff that the algorithm feeds you is just like sensationalism, violence, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty.
So it's like, dude, we're fucking, this is, we're doomed. Like, no matter what we do, we can't have like an objective view on things. Except for science. That's why I like science.
It just seems like there's a lot of disgust out there for me. Like seeing all these like.
Well, because I think the algorithm just feeds you that stuff.
Well, I know, but things are actually coming to light. But people always knew it's like, you know.
Well, we didn't know that Jared Fogle was going to be like a pedophile and he was being pumped by a Subway.
Right, but it just feels like this is becoming so much more ubiquitous. You know, it's like major politicians, you know, islands are just fucking like left and right are being discovered. It's like sex trafficking's all-time high. You know, all these things.
Yeah.
And it's like true. Every celebrity somehow is tied to this. It's people we like typically revel. Revel?
Revel, yeah.
Whatever.
Revere.
Yeah. Worship and idolize. Like, these are the people we grew up with. Like, you're like, dude, fucking look, this guy's dancing and shit, dude. He's fucking cool.
Yeah.
I want to be like him. I want to buy his merch.
Yeah.
You know, I want to sip on his tequila.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's like in his like compound.
Yeah. Little did you know.
Running some sort of like illegal. Activity of some kind.
Several illegal activities, allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't followed up as to what exactly P. Diddy has been doing, but I mean, he just got raided by the SWAT and
like double raided.
And they had like they had tanks there.
I know.
Like they're about to go to war.
Right. Exactly. So it's just like, what else is going on? And like, it's just, there's a layer of disgust.
Yeah,
in our culture and in society, at least from what I perceive, and it's like it definitely gets to me. And you're right. Like if I wasn't confronted with this, if I could just be in my own isolated
like
view,
metaverse,
whatever, my own view, like whatever's in front of me,
yeah,
the way it used to be, I think I would definitely be like a little more inclined to not feel.
Yeah.
So
I feel like there's a
yucky.
There's a trend to thinking like the past was much simpler, but I think the past was just it didn't have like the social media influence that we had today.
No, not
and,
at all.
And like it felt simpler, but it wasn't really. It was equally. Well,
there's definitely a lot more like data to take in now. Like back then, you weren't worried about everything going on in the world, dude. You had like, what's going on in my farm?
Exactly.
Yeah.
In your community.
How am I going
to
eat?
The people that actually meant something to you, like, why do I give a fuck about what's happening to Diddy?
Yeah.
I truly don't internally, but still.
But it's interesting.
I'm captivated nonetheless.
Yeah, we used to enjoy his songs back in the day.
Yeah.
Right, and all of a sudden he's like a kingpin.
Pretty much. And then it gets me thinking, who else is like this? You know, fucking, who else do I like? Let me think.
Yeah, like The Rock, right? If The Rock had,
oh God,
had like some sort of illegal action.
Exactly. Yeah,
I would be shocked.
He seems like too squeaky clean. Like he probably is for sure like building a uranium bomb or something. as we're speaking, you know,
yeah,
shit like that. You know, I don't know. Fucking Drake, he's like a billionaire rapper, mogul, musician. He's probably done some horrible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely disgusting things in his past. I'm almost certain.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be as surprising as The Rock doing that.
No, I know. I'm just saying. It's just all these people, man. Everyone's just like, the fuck, man.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers. Like, what if?
No.
What if he like gets exposed somehow, like in the past?
Right. So it's just damn, dude. It's damning. It's definitely like soul sucking. You know, just coming these things coming to light and like.
It definitely does affect. Our emotional state for sure.
I think so. A little
bit. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what makes us human, I guess.
Yeah. And then to add to this, while all this is happening, and then like the crypto space is just, it devolves into so much like fucking hatred and venom and toxicity amongst one another. Just again, we've talked about this at length in the past, just over something like fucking digits like, on a screen.
Just like art. It's like all of a sudden, pixels. There's like actual hate and there's like death threats and all kinds of
real
stuff
over
art and pictures.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. And it's just, it just adds on. So yeah, I've been noticing people in the comment section of our videos like, dude, you guys sound defeated lately.
Yeah, we were definitely exhausted.
Yeah. We're definitely not defeated. I don't think.
No.
We've been through way worse points in time, like in our like career, whatever you want to call it. Our endeavors where like we truly felt like we were on the cusp of defeat. Like there was like real pragmatic, practical, objective indicators of like a real defeat is on the horizon.
Yeah.
Right. But we still persisted through that. Right.
Yeah.
But this is like something else. Yeah. Exhaustion might be the word. Right.
Yeah. You pointed me to an interview between Lex Fridman and Dana White.
Yes.
On persistence.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't noticed why, I'm like, I'm seeking out these like...
Oh, dude, that's my jam. That's my entertainment. It's like, you know,
hearing,
listening to entrepreneurs talk about their journey.
Yeah, people who have kind of like dealt with what we've been dealing with. We've been doing this for like 5-6 years now. It's like, fuck, man. Yeah, eventually you're going to hit these walls.
Yeah.
Where it's like, shit, man. You, like everything within you is telling you, dude, just stop.
It's so much easier just to quit.
Just, you know, there's a beach over there, right? You know, like somewhere a couple hours away, you could be like just chilling out there.
Yeah.
Kick your feet up in the sand and like, you know, get a Corona. Maybe maybe a six pack of them.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just chilling. You could do that.
Yeah, right? You could.
They'll stop. I know, but
that's
my point. It's like, no, right? So it's part of the process. And we're not successful entrepreneurs in any sense at all.
Definitely not.
Like, as far as like, but we're definitely on a pursuit.
Man, we're definitely trying though.
That's what I'm saying. We're in some kind of pursuit. And then, we spend a lot of time, like our personal time, like listening to these people.
Yeah, 100%.
Who have been through this and like suffered. You know, what's the guy, NVIDIA CEO?
We keep talking about it. We don't know his name.
I mean, he has like such a very specific video, man. I wish I mean, maybe we could show it. It's like so good.
Oh, Jensen Huang.
That's right, Jensen, my fucking...
Dude, Jensen...
My God.
Dude, that reminds me of... I don't know if you ever played Deus Ex?
Deus Ex? I feel like no.
DJ, any ring a bell or anything?
I feel like I know the name, but I can't put a...
Okay, well, let me show you a picture of that. If you know what I'm talking about, definitely put a comment down below. Okay, now does it ring a bell? Nothing?
No.
No,
less.
That picture right there where he's looking up.
Yeah, Elon was talking about this a while back.
Okay.
So this is a very, very famous game back in the day. It's just an RPG first-person shooter. Okay. But it was set in like a cyberpunk type of era.
Okay.
And you had like these like augmentations, like your arm could like lift heavier stuff if you upgraded it. You had like augmentations in your eye. You can kind of zoom in. And
through what, like a just like by Neuralink implant or something like that?
No, it's just in the times, like technology was sufficiently advanced where you can have like bio implants.
Oh,
like, so, okay. That was just like normalized in gotcha. This environment.
I feel you. Okay, cool.
But anyway, his name was Jensen.
Yeah,
that's why I bring it up. So anyway,
cool.
Back to reality.
Holy shit, that is not where I thought you were going to go with that. I thought we were like, I don't know. It's like, this is why crypto is going to destroy the planet. It's like this game predicted it like 20 years ago. Yeah. Something like that. Okay, Jensen. Yeah. So I put a link in the Crypto Spec channel. Maybe this is the clip that I saw. It like kickstarted me on this like this personal journey of like trying to find mentorship, I guess, through people who've actually been about it and like been through the gauntlet of like pain and suffering.
Something that the world's
never. That's my view.
All right, let's play it.
So if you don't know, for context, let's pause it. This is the founder and CEO of NVIDIA.
Genius.
Yeah, if you know what NVIDIA is, it started off as like a video game chip manufacturer.
Yeah, well, just video cards.
Video cards for people who wanted to play on PC, you know, Crysis. They were the ones, like that was the benchmark back in the day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, crypto happened. Before you know it, like every miner needed these things. And that's like, so the chip technology had to improve. And then it's like, oh, guess what? AI is happening.
Yeah. Now, like stock price was only going up for the last 25 years.
Yeah. It's actually outperforming Bitcoin. Like, NVIDIA stock. Like, it's the stocks don't typically like,
they don't
shine this with this much magnitude, right? It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
But this one makes sense because, you know, this technology
pillar
is essential to basically everything in the future.
Yeah, and the important thing here is that he was listening to like what people were needing like in different industries.
Yeah.
And he pivoted every single time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So this is a man, like a 20 years story, right? You see him all of a sudden, he's like one of the richer men on earth now. It's like, oh, you know, but there's a 20 year backstory to this. So this clip stood out as far as like what it takes.
Hope that's insanely hard to do. The reason why you choose something insanely hard to do, by the way, so that you have lots of time to go learn it. If something is insanely easy to do, like tic-tac-toe, I wouldn't, you know, fuss over it. And the reason for that, obviously, is highly competitive. And so you got to choose something that's incredibly hard to do. And that thing that's hard to do discourages a whole bunch of other, all by itself, because the person who's willing to suffer the longest wins. And so we choose things that are incredibly hard to do. And you've heard me say pain and suffering a lot. And it's actually a positive attribute. People who can suffer are ultimately the ones that are the most successful. Number one. Number two, you should choose something that somehow you're destined to do. Either a set of qualities about your personality or your expertise or the people you're surrounded by, your scale, your whatever your perspective, whatever you're somehow destined to do. And then number three, you better love working on that thing so much, because unless so, the pain and suffering is too great.
Dude, well said, man.
That last part is the real kicker.
The timing.
Because, those internal voices. Bill, and
try not to blow a gasket on this one. <All right. laughs>
God damn it, Neil.
Your playlist came up, man. That's Will's
game. Damn it, Neil.
That's Will's like bedtime playlist activating. Dude.
Oh, yeah. I listen to Star Talk all the time, dude.
I bet, dude. I bet you do. Where does he have like a thermodynamics episode?
Oh, yeah. There's an entropy episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I would like to watch those, actually.
It's good. It's great.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, back to Jensen here.
Yeah, like those internal voices and like this feeling of like, yeah, it's just pain and suffering, and like the easy solution is to just give up, right? There's an easy solution to this. Like you could stop the pain and suffering right now. Just 100%.
Yeah. I feel like, stopping the pain. I don't know what it is. I'd rather suffer.
Well, thank God. I'm glad you said that, dude. You might have one of those characteristics that he's describing. Maybe so. It's like you're willing to suffer. And for people who don't know, you've been on this path Oh, longer yeah. than I have.
Yeah, and
it's typically, been like 15 years or something like that.
Yeah, typically, being an entrepreneur, there's a lot of failures.
Yeah,
you spend a lot of time, and it feels like it's a waste of time when you end up failing. Mm-hmm. But it's when you look back at it, you always think, "Cause like, I would have made the same choices. I would have done the exact same thing."
Mm-hmm.
Because you grow, you learn, and then for the next project that you apply everything that you've learned, and you do a better job, and hopefully yeah. it's a better outcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how I feel like if you're not doing that, what is it that you're doing?
I mean, there's a lot of options of things to do. You don't have
Yeah, but to I be. guess ultimately the question is, what is your purpose? If your purpose is just to like
exist,
just breathe and yeah. that's it, like I it's just not inspiring. And
yeah. Well, yeah,
I don't know. It's not agree. My people, you know?
That's not you. You're just not built that way.
Well, it's not even just not being built that way. It's like who the people who I choose to like hang around with,
mm-hmm.
right? That has like a major impact on the quality of life.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So we're here, like, I guess like hitting one of those, pain and suffering points, at least I am.
Right? Yeah.
And there's a lot of contributing factors to it, but yeah, I know we've been through this many times, and, yeah, just like not setting the alarm bells. A lot of you guys
yeah,
really like, are looking forward to us continuing. Like, we're not like, this isn't like a throwing the towel like yeah. Fucking episode. So that should be the thumbnail.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. It's like, we're throwing in the towel, dude.
That's the name of the episode.
It's fucking done, dude. We're done. We're tapping out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're just simply, that's the point of having a platform like this. Like, we could just be open and authentic with what it is we're experiencing, right?
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, of course, like all these things we learn, ordinals, fucking bitmap, anything metaverse, DMT, all these interesting things, like underneath it all is like we're just a couple of guys.
I think yeah. it's also important to note that you guys are not full-time YouTubers. Like, you guys are actually building yeah. something. So when you're talking about this, it's not suffering. YouTube.
That's true.
That's
true. A good point.
That's something else. A lot of people actually don't know that. Right? Yeah. A lot of people are like, oh, you guys built M-Scribe? We didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about like people who want to work with us. And, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, you should probably use the platform you built. It's like, what do you mean? I thought you guys just made podcasts. It's like, no, dude.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But you know what? YouTube takes a lot of time too. Like, it has like, you need to put effort into this. Mm-hmm. It's not like just a couple of guys just sitting here, just like blabbing away. At least that's not what we want to do.
Yeah.
Right. We want to provide actual value and.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely blab. This is definitely a blab.
This is a blab, but I feel like it's
cheaper than therapy.
Yeah.
That's right, dude. But you're right. Yeah, of course. And I think that's why pushed the button. We crossed the 20K mark.
I feel like this is a profound blab.
No button.
You're the only one celebrating, dude.
What do you mean? I feel like we crossed 20K for a reason, right? Because I think that's 20,000 people out there are telling us, it's like,
yeah,
you guys have added some kind of value to my existence. Thank you. Right? That's what a subscription means.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like we tie like a fucking giveaway to that button.
That's true.
Should.
Yeah. We grow faster, but then
yeah, it'd be super
less
lame.
Traction. Yeah.
Yeah. Super lame and non-authentic, which is, you know, I guess our angle here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this was a good share though. Like it was like very well.
Which
like
one?
The timing.
The world's never.
Like, oh yeah.
Do the hard work.
You know what else we should bring up? Speaking of people we like, we like Const a lot. I don't know if you're watching this.
Oh,
Const.
Oh yeah.
The founder of Vitensor. He's been on our channel like maybe a year or so ago.
Yeah, he basically tweeted at us.
Without like, actually tweeting at us.
Yeah, correct.
That's not it.
Yeah, here it is.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah, we're on the lines of like just. Really trying to like recenter our bearings here. But yeah, Const, if you don't know, he's the founder of Vitensor. Fucking Tao, absolutely ripping the crypto market, 4 billion or so market cap,
yeah.
AI token. One of the more genius like protocol designs that we've ever come across. And it's something we actually want to really sink our teeth into.
Yeah.
But of course, we're very limited on bandwidth. Because of everything we're doing and, you know, the focus of like seeing Bitcoin expand and evolve as an ecosystem, that takes a lot of our focus, right? But
yeah,
as we already know, there's interesting things happening outside of that. And this is one of them, right? So yeah. He put out a tweet that resonated pretty hard.
Yeah. So he comes in and he says, "Do not succumb to the masses' ideas over ridicule and judgment. For those who follow the ideas of the weak will perish in a dim fog of enlightenment."
Jeez.
Become the vision of the mind's eye and carry a flame to the fire. Do not wait for the fire to carry the flame to you. Build, work, build, work, build, work.
That's us, dude.
Fall down, fail, learn, earn, and conquer.
Nice.
Money is a tool for the creation of a creative space. Do not squander the value of a gift from a friend, family, strangers, enemies, atheists, partisans, peddlers, people in the ocean of hungry minds. Feed, do not starve. Start now, wake up now. A trillion more lives will live happy before one of those trillion care or not about your happiness. Love yourself and hate only you if you don't.
Wow. So there's a lot of...
quite profound.
Yeah.
I was like, Iman sent it to me. I was like, man, he's like speaking to us. Or he used like Tao GPT to like come up with this. It's one or the other.
Yeah, he's just like humble flexing here. It's like, dude, this poetic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't even my conjuring, dude.
Yeah.
This is a result of an open large language model ecosystem supported by the Tao token itself and like multiple subnets and all this shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, get fucked.
Yeah.
It could be that.
It could be.
Actually, absolutely.
After quite the flex.
After we just listened to a couple of AI songs that are pretty high quality.
Yeah.
It could literally be just that. But nonetheless, we're going to imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, look, he put yellow. Maybe this is like not even his words. Maybe Yellow Wolf.
What is that?
It's a rapper, dude. What is that? I mean, who is that? He's a rapper, dude.
I turned down Google Brain after listening to the song "Best Choice of My Life." All right, well,
don't follow the ideas of the week. Okay, whatever.
I got. Well,
let's just ignore that. Scroll back up. This is Const talking to us.
Yeah.
Telepathically through Twitter, through the platform that's like destroying everything. So it's got its good and bad moments, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's gonna bring us down, like energy wise, but it's also gonna lift us right back up. So we really appreciate that Const like putting out that, because
yeah, thank you for the tweet, dude.
Yeah, we need that, because yeah, there's tons of ridicule and judgment definitely these days, and ideas in the masses, we're confronted with that constantly.
Yeah, it's called the squiggly lines on the charts.
Yeah, pretty much. So I mean, yeah.
Oh man,
that's all there is to really say about that. You know, yeah, but Tensor. Fuck, man. I really want to get in there. You guys, okay. For you guys watching this.
Yeah, if anyone watching this still like into like the BitTensor and...
you might not even know what the hell we're talking about. Most of you probably don't. Because we kind of like really sunk our teeth into that pre-ordinals.
Yeah.
And like like we said, like we our subscriber base doubled essentially then.
Yeah.
So most of you guys probably only know as far as like us... based on like our ordinals,
yeah,
participation, right? But so yeah, are you guys curious at all about like,
yeah, what is BitTensor? What is Tao? What is subnets?
Yeah, is AI interesting?
Why, like, why is a decentralized AI matter?
Right,
and if you had seen Silicon Valley, you'd know why it matters.
Yes, I still haven't gotten to that part yet.
No, you haven't.
But yeah, but we know we're well aware. Most people are. Typically concerned with like the degeneracy factor.
Yeah, I mean, I think the wider crypto community has acknowledged that it's like there was a tweet out there that said this meme like mania is an indicator that you guys have run out of ideas in crypto.
Who said that?
I think you shared it or something.
Oh no, I mean, I said that.
No. There's somebody who says like this meme. Like crazy like
mania
that's happening, dude, is an indicator that the crypto bros have run out of ideas.
Yeah, that's my interpretation of it. And there's a tweet that I put out a couple of weeks ago. Like when I'm seeing this happen, and it devolved to such a level, like we can't even comfortably show some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it's coming down on Solana. Now it's like permeating to other chains, mm-hmm. like layer two to Ethereum and such. Yeah, straight up racist idea.
It's a racist portfolio.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
It's like, how racist can you get with like generating a meme? And like, that's becoming like the market's main activity of like, this is, I want to participate in that. I can make money off of like creating more racist ideas.
Dude, it's so easy to like hide behind your PFP on Twitter as an anonymous and like talk about your racist portfolio.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's such insane behavior.
It is crazy. And yeah, like I interpreted all that. And it's like, dude, what happened to the magic, dude, of like Web3 and crypto? Like when we first came in, there was like the vibrato and like the balls like of all these like founders. Like, dude, we're going to fuck up the banks.
Yeah. Watch every single ICO project was going to change the world. Every single one.
Right. Yeah. It's like, dude, you know, fucking.
Now it's just like stupid memes.
Right. Yeah. It's quite interesting to have seen it all kind of like devolve to this state.
Yeah.
And yeah, to me, it's like, it just feels like the last breaths, like if you're like submerging underwater, it's like your mouth is like the only thing like not submerged. It's like, that's what it feels like crypto's at right now. You know, like the last gas, like,
yeah,
like he's like, let's just be racist, we're about to die anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. And that is not good, dude. We're about to enter into like a whole new paradigm for Bitcoin's like,
yeah, that's true,
trajectory. And like, this is the thing. Like, people are coming back to crypto. And all you see is racism, like mass racism across all chains. Like, what the fuck happened, dude?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, Bitcoin has like its new resurgence. Like, now the wider like public accept Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And then you go into it, it's just racism.
Yeah, it's or just stupid memes, period.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, good Lord. And like, you know, this was supposed to be a runes conversation, but I think pretty much out of time. We didn't talk about runes hardly at all. But Casey Roddenberry did put out the Git book, right? Or like the extension to the, I was about to say the DMT framework, but the ordinals framework.
Yeah, runes, rune stones, etching. And
yeah, so go take a look at that.
Yeah.
But it's basically now it's well understood what runes are going to do and introduce. And, you know, his motivations have been pretty clear from the beginning. You know, he's like, you guys like shitcoin casinos? Like, here's my...
Here's another one.
Yeah, here's my contribution to the shitcoin casino space. And then we already have people lined up and ready to like utilize this. And like, their main mission statement to the world is like, we're going to make the best meme ever memed.
Yeah, we're going to make this number go up hard. Yeah,
we're going to meme the fuck out of you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you've never been memed before.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's it.
That's pretty much it, right? It's like, that's the extent of like where we've kind of progressed and evolved as a technology sector.
Yeah.
And yeah, that again, that contributes to the fucking like...
The whole sentiment is like...
I'm just slowly like deflating here, dude. Yeah. It's crazy. So yeah, I mean, but... We see that, we're observers of it, but we know underneath all this ridiculousness.
It's just a big old hot potato game.
Yeah, there's
that's what's being propagated, really.
But those fundamental values and
Still there.
They're still there. They're still within reach.
And that's what interests us. That's what keeps us around, is that fundamental stuff.
Yeah, like, can we actually do it?
Yeah. Can we actually take down the banks?
Take down the banks, or like just liberate humanity in as many facets as possible through the utilization of this new paradigm that we've introduced, right? Like,
imagine,
it's very complicated.
Imagine fiat currency all of a sudden has to adopt crypto. Like, it has to.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the day.
I totally agree.
A significantly bigger day than ETFs.
Mm.
Significant. Like, 100x bigger.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so... Yeah, what we're seeing now, so this, the white towel theme is very good for this.
That was a meme, by the way, the white towel meme.
What do you mean?
It was like we were throwing in the towel, but not really.
Well, yeah, first it's like us, personally, we're not throwing in the towels. But this isn't us saying like crypto's dead either. It's like, here's another towel, we're just throwing them all out at you at once.
Yeah.
That's not at all what's being said. Like, this happens like typically like at the beginning of every bull cycle. It used to be just Doge by itself would be like the thing that pumps, just to kind of like...
Yeah, the signal.
The signal. It's like, dude, bull market starting.
The bat signal is like in the sky.
Yeah, that's the signal to assemble all the fucking degens on the planet. It's like, crypto's back, baby.
Yeah.
And this meme coin mania season or whatever the fuck is probably just like an extended version of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, maybe so. I think that is the signal. Yeah.
This is the new version. Because yeah, memery has expanded beyond Doge, right? Now it's quite the it's quite the proliferation. But yeah, this is definitely gonna like just it's gonna do its thing and it's gonna die out very quickly, I think. And runes will I think showcase that.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think the real people who are actually trying to like create real change and real impact are gonna like steal the show. Hopefully. And I'm really hoping for that.
Yeah, I think ultimately that has to happen because fundamental value is
always king.
It's always there. Yeah.
Yeah, but Tensor's a good example of that.
That's right.
These guys have been like head down grinding at like something fundamentally valuable that can actually change humanity.
And it was faded hard for a long time.
I know.
Hard.
I know. It's still faded.
It's still, yeah.
I still see these like notable influencers with like six-figure follower accounts being like, this is a fucking, it's bullshit. It's like a hype cycle. It's not going to do anything.
Yeah, that's
now,
crazy.
Now back to, you know, Wiggly Coin.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck. Like, that's what you guys motherfuckers need to be like paying attention to.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to change all of culture and humanity.
Yeah. It's, dude.
It's mind-boggling.
It's wild.
It is. All right.
Rant
complete, dude. This is therapy, TJ. You're right.
Thank you. Yeah.
Need to get that out.
All right, guys, that's it for us. If I mean, we talked about a lot. If we miss anything big, definitely let us know.
Yeah,
yeah, in the comment section below. I mean,
yeah, we know real world assets are taking off now because of Larry Fink.
That's right. Yeah,
aren't they like they're forming their own shit coin or something now or something?
Yeah.
Look at BlackRock.
All of stocks are going to be shit coins.
Fucking insane. It's definitely turning mad for sure.
Yeah. All right, guys, appreciate it. And that's been the podcast. Appreciate you. And we will catch you in the next video.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the BlockRunner podcast. Make sure you visit the website at theblockrunner.com and sign up to stay up to date on the latest crypto. Reach out to us on Twitter at theblockrunner.